Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio, the mobile Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. We're here at Rogers Arena, the site of the Canucks and Colorado Avalanche, where we will see one of the two best defensemen on planet Earth, maybe the second best defenseman on planet Earth, but not the best defenseman on planet Earth, because Quinn Hughes will miss a second consecutive game for the Vancouver Canucks. Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon on the other side in town tonight, riding a two-game shutout streak. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Anytime you come to the rink and Quinn Hughes is not going to be available for viewing, it's a night that is not quite as good as it can be.
Yeah, I had somebody come up to me in the gym today, ask me, is Quinn playing? I'm like, no, unfortunately not. And they're like, man, I got tickets to my dad. We were going to go watch Quinn and Makar. It's the first game of the season we're going to go watch. We're so excited. I'm like, yeah, it kind of sucks. I know.
A little bit disappointing, but you still get to see Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon. And Philip Hedl, who is apparently the new version of Pavel Bure, according to Don Taylor yesterday.
Well, not quite what he said, but yes.
I mean, he made the comp, not me. Yeah. You can go back and listen to the tape. I don't know. All right, there's a lot to get into, and not just on the game, of course. We'll dive more into the game topics a little bit later on as we get closer to pregame. But we're going to have Brett Festerling join us, also Arthur Staple covering the New York Rangers trade with the with JT Miller at The Athletic. We'll get his take on it from the Rangers perspective and where they go with JT now on the roster. But that's all still to come. First, we get to the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Ah! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And we discussed this yesterday on the show. Carson Soucy was a healthy scratch on Sunday night. It was even more surprising that with Quinn Hughes being a game-time decision, Carson Soucy still didn't even take warm-up on Sunday nights. And today we hear from Elliot Friedman that Carson Soucy is on the trade block. He does have a full no-trade clause. It will go down to a modified no-trade clause after July 1st. 12 teams. You'll have to submit a list of 12 teams, but pretty fascinating, this development with Carson Soucy.
Yeah, and the fact that it's kind of public, the fact that the Canucks are trying to trade him, and it makes me wonder, especially when he has a no-trade clause and he's been healthy scratched, is this the Canucks trying to trade a player with a no-trade clause that is hard to move? Or do they have a general idea of what they might be able to do here, and they're trying to get the player to waive potentially? Now, getting a player with a full no-move clause to waive is not an easy thing to do here.
Not the easiest of tasks.
Full no-trade clause, not no-move clause, no-trade clause.
Some people might be asking, how did Carson Soucy get a no-trade clause? Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis didn't even have no-trade clauses.
But that's the NBA. They don't give out a no-trade.
Max Scherzer got a no-trade clause.
We can talk about whether the NHL should allow no-trade clauses or not and how they give them out, but that's the cost of doing business.
And in free agency especially. For a lot of these guys, I'm sure Soucy had a couple of different options, similar value-wise, money-wise, and usually what gets it over the line, you either tack on another year or you give some kind of trade protection to get that player to sign on the dotted line. And clearly that's where it went with the Vancouver Canucks. So if you're having that question, that's probably why. Soucy was an unrestricted free agent, and they probably needed to add in the no-trade clause to get the deal across the line.
And he has a young family, and when he signed with the Canucks last year, his wife was either expecting or they just had twins. And obviously there was a lot going on that offseason. He came here and got settled. So for him, getting the no-trade clause for a couple of years was big, especially from a family perspective when he signed with the Canucks. So it's not an easy situation to navigate here, right? Like, he does control the situation. the thing is, the most important thing here for the Canucks, I think, is the cap space. Not necessarily this year because they have the money, but it's about, yeah, it gives you more flexibility this season, and perhaps there's a trade where you can get something of value that you would like to do. Mm-hmm. But the Canucks would, I think, love to clear a couple million off their salary cap books for next season.
So it's also to do with poor performance, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like,
I mean, yeah, we're not having this discussion if he's, you know, playing to his potential.
Yeah, if he's playing well, I mean, maybe the Canucks don't spend a first-round pick on trying to acquire Marcus Patterson either, right? But Soucy has not been good from the get-go this year. He's had a couple of games where it's like, oh, has he found it? But it hasn't been able to sustain at any point this year. That's unfortunate because he was so good, so valuable, so consistent for this club last year. But now you're looking at it, and yeah, Rick Tocchet said today, you know, we kind of felt, and I'm paraphrasing, we kind of felt like he needed a kick in the ass. Kind of, that's a lot for a coach to say that in public about a player's performance and where his game has been at. And, you know, to another level, that probably speaks to commitment and practice habits and all of those things that are fully encapsulating when a coach says something like that. But we're also talking about this being a retool and the Canucks looking to make bigger changes. The big picture factors in here too, and clearing $3.75 million off the books for the rest of this year and possibly next year, I think would be a lot of value to this front office.
Yes, 3.25.
3.25.
But yes, it would be really valuable to clear that money. And the other thing, getting Patterson and signing Patterson to an extension does create a roadblock for Elias Patterson.
Yes.
And also them wanting to get him more involved next season, right? So for next year, and even this year, because you have Derek Forbort, who's performed really well, you have Patterson, you have Hughes, you're playing one of these guys on their offside.
Yeah.
So there is, I don't mind having the depth, but you can look at it. There is now a surplus of NHL defensemen on the left side for the Canucks all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And that's not even counting Patterson, who for next season could obviously vie for a spot, and they hope that he does have a spot on the team. So I think all these factor in. And I'm curious also about maybe there is something of value they can get. And I don't think something huge, but maybe they can get a mid-round pick.
Yeah.
And if you get even, let's say, for instance, you get like a third-round pick or whatever, or a fourth-round pick, or even a fifth. You can turn around and use that for something else at some point this season, right? So I think that gives you a little, you know, another asset potentially. But if trying to clear the money is important, the Canucks can always place him on waivers. He doesn't have a no-move clause. It's a no-trade clause. So as much as he has a no-trade clause, if it gets to a situation where, let's say, hypothetically, there is a team interested, well, they can be like, well, we can just put you on waivers and that team can claim you. So do you want to play along or not, right? But Pierre LeBrun had an update on Carson Soucy.
He did have an update on Carson Soucy, and he tweeted this not too long ago about the situation with the Vancouver Canucks and their defenseman. While Soucy is available for trade senses, he wants to try and make it work still with Van. Still, his camp and Canucks have talked about working together on a potential trade if that's the end result before March 7th. So, as we talked about yesterday, you got 9 games until March 7th. It's a little over a month away from March 7th. That is the trade deadline. And you got this big break here in between, too. I don't feel like you're going to be able to win a bunch of people over if they've made the decision that the best thing for the hockey club moving forward is to move on from you.
Yeah, and I think that's where there's also an understanding that you probably do want to play along because you have that hammer. And again, like, maybe somebody doesn't claim him. We don't know what the market is. This is just a new story here. But just based on how it's come out and what we're seeing, I wouldn't be surprised that they have some level of confidence they can move him.
I mean, I could even see, like, Dallas, you know, with the Miro Heiskanen news. You know, hey, at least we get this guy in here. We could probably use some help down the line on the left side.
Cap is going up next year, so it's easier for somebody to take on the contract for next year.
And we saw this with Barkley Goodrow was the big... you know, the obvious one that we remember in recent memory where the Rangers were like, we're trying to trade you. But if you're not going to accept it, then we're just going to put you on waivers, and then San Jose's going to take you anyway. So,
yeah.
And then they worked out a deal afterwards to give San Jose a pick in order to take Barkley Goodrow off of their hands via waivers.
Yeah, and again, that all depends on the trade market, but just based on how the story is developing, wouldn't be surprised if there are teams that, yeah. that would have some level of interest,
well, I
right?
I mean, Soucy, he's still a big defenseman. Who
was really good last year, great in the playoffs.
And I think maybe the biggest issue he ran into this year, obviously there's a lot that's been going on in Vancouver, but... You know, this was the most elevated role he'd been in his career. And we talked about this at the start of the season. You know, while we liked everything that Soucy did last year, you're going to ask him to do more this season, and can he live up to that? But I don't really have too many concerns that this is a player that can do a job for you on a third pair in a contending situation. So I'm sure there's going to be teams that would have interest in Carson Soucy here.
And he's a good dude who has leadership qualities as well.
Yeah.
So I think he's one of those guys that is generally a welcome addition to a locker room. You can take that, you know, either for a team that's young, wants to add somebody with experience, or an experienced team wanted to add somebody for their push, right? And for the Canucks, here's the other thing here, right? He could be an actual asset in trade, whether that's a package or whatever. So we'll see what comes of it. The Canucks also want to sign Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor.
Yeah.
And when you look at the salary cap for next year, as much as the cap's going up to 95.5, if you want to keep Lankinen and you have some desire to keep Besser, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And you want to sign Pettersson.
Yeah.
And you want to keep O'Connor.
Yeah.
Plus you want to sign, I mentioned Lankinen already, right? So let's say those four guys, and you want to add another center because you need another top six forward. That's five significant pieces. As it stands right now, and I've already added Atu Ratu as, say, a fourth-line player, Lekromäki to the roster for next year. I've already added Mancini. I've already added Wilander, right?
Yeah.
So these guys are already filling out spots. So that means the Canucks now have four spots open that they can add.
Yep.
And they have about $24.3 million to do so. Now, if you sign Pettersson to 5.5 and you keep Besser, the money start, and you keep Lankinen, the money starts to dry up real quick. Like, it's hard for you to add that impact center as well.
That's like probably already $17.5 million, almost $18 million, give or take, something like that.
Yeah. So I don't want to do the math here because I know it just goes over everybody's head. It's not great radio here, right? But for all intents and purposes, if the Canucks clear another $2 to $3 million, they can sign all these guys, and they still have money to add a center who can make anywhere from $7 to $9 million. So that's
whether in free agency or trade.
So if they move Soucy, that allows them to pretty much do everything they want to do.
Yeah.
So I think when you start looking at the numbers, that's where this kind of lines up, where if you want to keep all these guys and add to your roster, there still has to be somebody that gets sacrificed for next year, right? And we can see, we just mentioned, Soucy is probably the most realistic way for you to clear that space from an area of surplus all of a sudden.
It's really like, you look at the contracts, like if you're trying to open up money, the two that come to mind immediately, Soucy, and the other one's Höglander at $3 million for next year.
Yeah.
For the next 3 years starting next season. So those would be the two big ones. And look, are the Canucks completely sold that Elias Pettersson will be able to hold down a third pair D role all of next season off of three games? I'm not sure, but it's been a really good start to his career that you have confidence like he can be in the mix to fill out your third pair next year.
Yeah, and you can always sign a guy like a Derek Forbort next year for $1 million, $1.5 million, and then that guy's your 6'7".
Veteran
you fight
guy
him.
To battle for that spot.
And you beat him out for a spot if you can beat him out, right? Or you have some depth options. We're talking third pair now.
Yeah.
You know, when the Canucks signed Soucy, was with the hope of him being a top four, perhaps, right? When the Canucks got Pettersson, like, he's a top four. If you keep him, you have your kind of top four figured out, right? Like, you have Hughes, you have Hronek and Pettersson.
Yeah.
These guys are making a lot of money, and they're your top four defensemen. Myers is playing a top four role, and he's kind of holding on to that right-hand spot until Wilander takes over.
Yeah.
And if he comes in next year, now he has competition.
Yeah.
So, like, all you're looking at is third pair spots to fill out. You have Mancini. He's going to have a shot for it next year. You have Wilander coming in. You have Pettersson. Sign another veteran that's cheap, and that's your battle for your third pair. Like, the Pettersson trade pretty much, like, solves your defense.
Yeah.
And I don't mean solves it like it's figured out and it's great. It's like this is how you're moving into next year, and then you evaluate from that point on.
You're not expecting to make big changes for a little while on this group. You're trying to move out Carson Soucy, but you know you've got a stopgap in Myers while Verlander continues to develop. And then the other three guys, once Pettersson gets signed, gets signed, you know, your three staples on the back end are going to be locked in.
Yeah, and just quickly, like, for those asking, all the numbers I posed, that includes the buyout money too.
Yeah.
So, like, all the numbers have been figured out. So, that's all I'm saying. If they clear another $3 million, the Canucks can keep all their guys and add an impact center. And that includes paying Besser up to $8
million. Yeah. Which is...
And I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying it gives you the option to do so.
It's the range of where his next contract is going to end up. SatMath, brought to you by... I don't know, but you can put your name on it if you want. All right, 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Keep getting your texts in. And, you know, just to finish off on this, you still have Kudryavtsev on the left side. You still have Sawyer Mignot coming as well. So you have a progression plan of a few left-shot D prospects on the way, which affords you the possibility of trading Carson Soucy and getting out of that $3.25 million. Now, the other part of this, you mentioned adding a center. Pierre LeBrun on also mentioning today that the Canucks are still interested in the services of one Dylan Cousins. Now, he referenced that the Sabres and Canucks have talked, but it was more about Elias Pettersson. Now Elias Pettersson has been taken off the trade market for the time being. Does this mean the Canucks would be looking at still acquiring Dylan Cousins without it being a blockbuster deal where Elias Pettersson goes the other way? I think that's essentially what's being suggested here by Pierre LeBrun.
Yeah, and I mean, you're all over it, right?
Yeah.
I just don't know if the Canucks have the pieces to win that trade without moving a Lekromäki, for instance. And again, what are the Sabres looking for? Are they looking for assets, pure like first round pick and a prospect, or do they want a player who's more established?
Yeah,
or a different type of player that's already ready made. And if you're not trading Pettersson, does Hoglander move the needle for Cousins? You know what I mean? And if the Canucks pull off a trade, let's say they do say Soucy, Hoglander, and a pick or whatever, and throw in a prospect, that's a coup.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what the Sabres are looking for.
Yeah. It's really hard to sort of figure out exactly what the Sabres want, what they need. They probably need a few more leaders on that team, given that they had to have a team meeting because nobody stood up for their leading scorer, Tage Thompson, when he got blasted by Stephen Nason the other night. And so, you know, they're looking for a lot of things. They're looking for a way to get closer to the playoffs because they start every year, every October, with so much hope, and they stink. And then March rolls around when they're already out of the playoffs. February, March rolls around, and then they all become Wayne Gretzky. You know, and it's just like, well, what does it all matter if we're already out of the postseason? So Sabres are in a weird spot, and I don't think the traditional, hey, here's a first-round pick, a roster player, and a good prospect is necessarily what they're looking for in Dylan Cousins, unless they're just trying to get out of the contract because they haven't liked the way that it's progressed these last couple of years.
But here's the thing. Are they looking at him as a pure salary dump?
Yeah.
Because they were trying to get Pettersson from, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty. They're setting their sights pretty high on it. And they're an organization who's terrified of making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So are they just looking to give a guy away to go somewhere else to have success? That's what I'm kind of wondering about. But, yeah, if they are truly looking to just salary dump in, then, just jump in and get it as cheap as possible. I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I'm just skeptical is all.
Canucks Central Roundup. The Canucks will not have Quinn Hughes tonight, as previously mentioned. Questions being asked, should he play in the Four Nations? Chris Johnston had an update on this and mentioned that the U.S., while they haven't heard anything from the Canucks or Quinn Hughes, they are at the very least discussing potential replacement options should Quinn Hughes not be able to go to Four Nations.
Let's be honest. The best thing for Quinn Hughes for the rest of the season, for the organization, and their chances is for Quinn Hughes not to play in the Four Nations. He has a bum hand already, and I mean bum hand as in like he's been injured, right?
He's had to wear a brace on his hand.
So the dude's already dealing with that. Now he has another injury, whatever it is.
Lower body, we suspect.
Yeah. like, a 2 weeks off would, I think, do wonders for him.
Yeah.
The best thing for the Canucks' playoff hopes and their success is for Quinn Hughes to skip the Four Nations.
Yeah. Rick Tocchet hinted at that today
as
well.
Yeah, 100%. Now, is he going to? He has a chance to go play with his brother. This is a special moment for a guy like him. Like, he's probably always dreamed of being at a best on best. So, we'll see. And I'm not saying he's going to play.
Yeah.
J.P. Barrie was on with Donnie and Dolly and mentioned, obviously, Quinn has a desire to play. He wants to play. But we'll see. Like, if this injury isn't getting much better by the next couple of days, a decision might be made for him. You know? Yeah. Like, he's not obtuse. He's not going to go out there and play if he can't play.
Yeah.
So,
if you miss the final four games before the break, too, if that's what ends up happening here with Quinn Hughes, they got two more games after tonight, San Jose and Toronto, before they take the break.
Yeah, it's also not a great look, and I don't mean on Quinn. And just in general, like, if a guy misses the last four games of the break and then goes and plays in the Four Nations and then gets banged up more, and it's like, ultimately, like, this is still the team that pays him.
Yeah, those are going to be hard games, man. You hear the way Matthew Tkachuk is talking about this tournament. These guys are going to go at each other in these Four Nations games. And, I mean, yeah, it'll be fun for us to watch. But, yeah, you also got to think about your club team at the same time. Thatcher Demko getting the start in goal tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. One of his best games this season came in a 3-1 win over the Colorado Avalanche a couple of months ago now, thinking back on it. What is time, anyways? It doesn't make any sense at all. We'll get into more discussions as we get to Brett Festerling coming up in a little bit. His take on the JT Miller trade and how the Canucks retool from here. JanPro, from showrooms to stockrooms and everything in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. You are listening to Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.